Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Am I Tripping? We want to talk tonight about a couple things. One of the things we're going to talk about, I happen to step outside on my balcony and we got some old road runner or some motherfucker riding up and down the street on some simple shit. But anyway, I want to talk about the Knicks and some of the trade talks and shit we've been hearing. Anybody know me or been listening to this podcast know I'm a true diehard Knicks fan, and I got some strong shit to say about that. And then we're also going to talk a little bit of towards the end, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals and what I'm seeing so far. Now, talking about my Knicks, I'm going to start it here. At the beginning of the season when they came out with the little projections and shit like that, I was listening to my fuckers talk about how Chicago and the Hornets and all these other teams were supposed to be and scheduled to be better than us coming into the season, and I never bought into that. Off the rip, because you could see some of the development of Julius getting better towards the end of the season before, and the team as a general. If we had got it, like this, the big thing was, what was we gonna get out of RJ in year two? And shit, RJ goddamn it really stepped his motherfucking game up in year two so much, man, that we really got something. We got a good thing going with RJ Barrett. And I ain't gonna lie to you, nigga, I was sick when we didn't get Zion or Ja. I'm talking about sick to my stomach being left with RJ Barrett. So I'm that guy. I'm that motherfucker who really wasn't all aboard. So I'm happy to be wrong about RJ Barrett so far. I wanna definitely say that. Keep on grinding, RJ. Your nigga saying was dead ass wrong about you. But part of that is where I'm about to go. Part of his development is where I'm about to go with this shit now. It's a lot of talk about what we're going to do far as trying to get Colin Sexton. And this is the shit that fucks me up right here. If you a real Knicks fan, you already know what really started fucking us up and really destroyed the Knicks as a whole is in the 90s, out of all the draft picks that we had, we kept none of them besides Charlie Ward. I mean, every time we came out with a draft pick, we was trading it for another old head. Every time we got a motherfucking young rookie, we was quick to push him off for another old head. And when I looked up and said, look, 97, 98, I'm looking like, damn, the only rookie the Knicks on hell since 90 has been goddamn adversely Charlie Ward. So getting rid of your youth, not respecting it, not valuing it, not knowing how to nurture it and develop it, that's what fucked the Knicks up all through the early 2000s. Because we didn't have nothing in the pipeline. And we wasn't winning. So everything go down at the same time, all downhill. And then when we did start drafting motherfuckers, we start drafting some of the strange. Man, we drafted the big motherfucker from France, man, one year, man, in the first round. The motherfucker that Vince shitted on in the United States in the Olympics. I mean, we just, we drafted Jordan Hill one year. Just fucking up the draft, man. Just fucking up the picks. Just fucking them up. Not getting nothing worth a fuck out of the picks. Getting nothing out the picks, man. Getting not a goddamn thing out the picks. And that kept us going into 2010 and going on to 2020, because even the motherfuckers that we picked, we didn't goddamn pick not a motherfucker that really had no real life potential to really do anything. I mean, we're just getting guys that didn't really have no potential of really, really doing something. And that just continued to stall our process. So then, when we do get a halfway decent team going together, you know, with Wilson Chandler and Gallinari and guys like that, now we chose, instead of being patient, Melo was coming to New York. Even if another team would have signed Mel, we had enough money and we would have been able to keep that Wilson Chandler Gallinari team together, you know what I'm saying, for Melo and Amari Stoudemire, we'd have been all right. That's a team that we're overpaying for, and we would have been young and then experienced in other areas. We'd have had a perfect combination. Fast forward to where we at now. I love my coach. I love my motherfucking coach Tibbs. Cause he like Jeff Van Gundy, the motherfucker who he learned the game under. You're not touching that court as a Knick, period, if you cannot help. If you're not committed. There's just no more slotted space for you. You ain't just got a motherfucking goddamn starting job. We ain't just giving out starting jobs. Motherfuckers earning them. And if you earn a job, Tibbs gonna pay you. He gonna play you. Gonna play the shit out of you. Especially if you're doing your job. But he requires that you play on both sides. That's a Tibbs requirement. That's a requirement to be a New York Knick now, that you have to play on both sides. So I don't even know why in the fuck this is even a conversation about goddamn Colin Sexton or even Dame Lillard. To play for Coach Tibbs, you got to play on both sides. He got Derrick Rose to play on both sides as a small guard. So, no, you can't even take. There's no way that you're going to be able to sell Tibbs that all we need is this motherfucker here who's a gunner for his team. He ain't never going to buy into that. And I don't want him to. Wasn't expecting to. That shit don't win. We got to have motherfuckers that fully committed on both sides. And then y'all talking about getting rid of Obi Toppin? Obi Toppin's 6'10". And he's ready to play right now. He can shoot the three. He can goddamn post up. And he can run the court. Why would I even think about giving up that? Especially looking at how Milwaukee is winning the NBA Finals right now from beating their men in front of the rim. The Lakers just got done winning the year before from beating teams in front of the rim. So outside of Golden State, it's always been about rebounds lead to rings. Shot selections and easy shots lead to rings. All of that shit is usually goddamn formulated off strong rebounding and strong defense. What the fuck am I going to do with Dame or Colin Sexton in those areas? What the fuck can I do with him? Either one of them. They're not committed. They're not committed on that side. And if you're saying, well, Colin's only in the league for 3 years, maybe you can transform that into him. Okay, I'm with that. But I'm not getting rid of my first round pick to find that out. Julius Randle was the fucking NBA's most improved player last year. That's why we didn't get a good chance to look at Obi Toppin. I'm not getting rid of a kid that everybody said was NBA ready, has the body, from New York, and is committed and plays his ass off. I am not getting rid of that for a guard. Period, unless he goddamn a big guard that can goddamn do everything. period. So none of you tell me we can get Colin Sexton and we ain't got to get rid of nobody with maybe Kevin Knox and maybe one of those first round picks. I'll sign up for that. But outside of that, I ain't signing up for anything else less than that. And I'm damn sure not giving him my 19th pick, and I'm not even thinking about giving him goddamn Obi Toppin. Period. They trying to get rid of the kid. Why would you overpay when they're trying to literally get rid of him? Cleveland want the Jalen Green kid. And they should. He was 6'5". You put him and Garland in the motherfucking backcourt together, you see why Cleveland trying to get rid of Sexton. This kid's 6'5", they trying to get. So, I don't, and then his contract up after next year, so we would have to overpay him. And if he come in on a one-year deal, he gonna goddamn be out there trying to get his Dennis Schroeder on, trying to prove to everybody why he deserves big money. The Knicks don't need that, and Tibbs ain't got no patience for that type of shit. I'm not asking my coach to goddamn turn into some punk ass yes man just to goddamn, you know, accommodate Colin Sexton. Hell nah. And the move for that, and first of all, I want to say this. I love the young boy. So this ain't no shit fest on Colin. This is a franchise's fundamental thinking about the value of their rookies. Because we don't know what Obi Toppin going to come back and look like next year. We got him with good-ass motherfucking goddamn trainers, assistant coaches. He got damn good teammates. He don't got a taste of what it tastes like to be in the NBA for a full season. Didn't get hurt. And he had to learn. He couldn't touch the court until he learned how to play both ends of the court. There's no way I'm getting rid of him before I get a chance to get a good look at him. Who's to say Julius get hurt and we have to really move Obi straight in? I can live with Obi and motherfucking goddamn Mitchell as my motherfucking goddamn front court. Not getting rid of Toppin. Period. Period. For no goddamn it, for Colin Sexton or Dame Lillard. Even Dame. The shit that they want for Dame, they want. They want Obi. They want motherfucking RJ. They want goddamn picks, goddamn it, into 2007. And they want motherfucking draft swaps and all types of shit. Just for Dame? Man, stop. Dame still get in the motherfucking East and still have to figure out how he gonna deal with Kevin, Kyrie, and goddamn it, James Harden. He still have to figure out what the fuck he gonna have to deal with goddamn Middleton and goddamn Drew Holiday. Motherfucking young Trae Young. This ain't wouldn't be no coming over here. He would have no goddamn picnic. This would be a grind for him every night. And I didn't even count the young LaMelo Ball boy that would be looking to be coming at him. No. I hate, and here go the killer part. I love that I'm not hearing anything from our front office and our heads. I was told that we got some of the best guys in charge of our motherfucking basketball operations right now, and they've proven it so far right now. They proved patience last year by not getting rid of all our money. The guys that we did bring in, we brought them in as short timers. Because they were just, you know, gap fixes. And that's all Colin would be. And they did an excellent job of goddamn drafting. They brought in the quick man and Obi Toppin. So who's to say what they're going to do for us this year? I'm not stunting my front office. And allow, because at the end of the day, the Knicks need what every franchise really needs. You want a goddamn a star ball player, you're going to have to draft you one, man. That's how the San Antonio took off. That's how Cleveland took off. That's how goddamn Golden State took off. Goddamn, that's how Chicago took off back in the days. That's how my Knicks took off when we drafted Patrick Ewing. You have to draft you a star, man. and your chances of drafting you a star get slammed when you just giving your picks up for old war horses. And I ain't, and that's not really no knock against Dame or nothing like that, man. But to get Dame and have to give up everything that we would have to give up would be pretty much doing the Carmelo move all over again. And I ain't in favor of none of that shit. You're talking about my monthly draft picks, RJ, who got better, Obi that we don't know about yet, Mitchell Robinson. You want, goddamn it, the three picks that, I mean, the two first round picks we got this year, next year, all the way to 2007? Who in the fuck, who Dame gonna play with? Nah, man. Hell nah. Hell motherfucking nah. That shit is crazy. Now, if I'm hoping our front office continues to see where we was at. Did nobody think shit of us going into last year? We proved them wrong. We have a team identity, something that Knicks ain't had in years. We don't have stars, but we ain't have a team identity. Our team identity is defense and rebounding. And getting Mitchell back will help us so much because Capella killed us. And I love Noel, got mad super love for goddamn Taj. But the limitations kicked in. And I do believe that we're going to have to, once even bringing Mitchell back and having Obi, we can keep both of those guys for in the locker room. And worst come to worst, we can lose one of them and then replace them with somebody that can help out a little bit more. Because even with those guys playing their heart out, they still was limited. But Tibbs loved them because they gave him everything that he asked for, rebounding and defense. He didn't give a fuck if they didn't score a point. Their minutes was locked in because all the work that they was putting in on both ends. That's what type of coach Tibbs is. And I'm not about to goddamn put him in no motherfucking rabbit hole, goddamn it, and start bringing a whole bunch of undersized guys into his system that he's on our show that if you give me enough time and you keep on giving me some goddamn good young pieces, we can put this puzzle together. So I'm hoping that my Knicks stay firm, don't do anything. Get rid of the guys that we get rid of. If we can definitely bring back Derrick Rose. We already got the quick man. We're going to get rid of Alfred Payton, Frank Ntilikina. I'll be damn sure looking for a way to see if I can maybe try to get Kyle Kuzma for Kevin Knox. But I wouldn't give the Lakers no first round pick. Lakers didn't overpay Kyle Kuzma. If you notice, they gave him goddamn mid-range level money. And Kuzma could come in, play alongside at our small forward position. You know what I'm saying? And I think he can help out. And he can make us, continue to make us long. He would give us that Michael Porter effect that Denver got, where you can play Porter at the three and at the four. But I think if we line Kuzma up at the three, RJ and motherfucking goddamn it, the quick man or Derrick Rose, either one of the two, I think the ball need to be in their hands this year, period. We don't need, our point guards is already here. Derrick Rose, the seasoned vet, and the quick man. And then you go out and you use that second round pick, Or you bring in a free agent. But we don't want to overpay nobody. And we shouldn't overpay nobody for a position that should be stable. Derek and Quick Man know how to get to the rim. They know how to finish. They both shoot the ball excellently from the free throw line. And they damn good three-point shooters. And they both got the floater game. So they giving us any way you want it, they can give it to us. So I wouldn't be opposed to having bringing in Kyle, especially if he wouldn't commit on the defensive end. if he wasn't commit on the defense end, him and Julius would be a nice, him, Julius, and Mitchell Robinson would be a nice front court. See, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to figure out how to beat motherfucking Milwaukee. And the only chance you got to ever beat, goddammit, the Nets, you're going to have to beat these teams in front of the rim, man. Because these teams got motherfucking goddamn guys that can shoot the shit out the ball. And in Milwaukee's case, you got to have multiple guys that you can throw at Giannis without having to double team him. You're going to have guys that's willing to stick their chest out and man up against Giannis. So you don't have to goddamn throw your defense off of what? And if he get 30 points, as long as he had to take damn near 30 shots to get it, we can live with that. But we have to neutralize him off the glass, off the boards. We can't allow motherfuckers like P.J. Tucker and Lopez. Can't allow Lopez and motherfuckers like that, you know, to be dominating the glass. So, nah, that's what I mean. If we do anything, because the Lakers damn sure look like they're ready to trade Kuzma at a yard sale. And he ain't got no big money to attach to that contract. And I think he ain't got number what, 3 years on it left. So this year and two more years. So we can always flip him. And Kyle's young enough where we can actually use him. He can shoot the three. He'll run the court. I mean, he's a better version of what you would be, what motherfuckers say that they want in Larry Nance. You see here motherfuckers screaming Larry Nance's name. Well, shit, Kuzma, a better version of him. So I would love for us to make that move or don't make no move at all and draft us a small forward at that motherfucking 19 spot. Go get you another combo guard at that 21 spot. And I've been saying it and I'm going to keep on saying it. It's a kid named Max Otmus out of Oral Roberts, man. I want this kid. I think this kid is the next motherfucking scoring weapon that's about to hit this league, man. I'm telling you, this kid, I watched Steph at Davidson, man. This kid doing the same type of shit. I watched motherfucking Trae Young at Oklahoma. This kid doing the same type of shit as far as efficiency, shooting the ball from the three. But he don't take bad shots. And he still got good work in his mid-range game. Can get back, he can get past his man. So, I mean, if I'm comping him right now, I'm looking at a younger version of Reggie Jackson in the kid. And he'll be a good guard that you can groom. He'll be perfect for in the locker room, I mean, in that area with Derrick Rose and motherfucking the quick man. So I'm asking for Max Otmus, not the Harper kid and some of these other cats I've been hearing. None of those kids can shoot. This kid can shoot. He gonna give you 90 from the free throw line, 40 from the three, and he gonna give you 20 points. He can give you that if he had the ball enough next year. This kid gonna be a baller, man. Max Otmus out of Oral Roberts, man. Get him, Knicks. Take a chance on that kid. Put him in our culture. That's a hit. He'll be a hidden gem in 2 years. All right. Now I want to talk about this NBA series that's been going on. I've been watching Chris since he was at Wake Forest. So, I like Chris. I like Chris a lot. I got a lot of respect for Chris's game. And Chris has been a leader since day one he stepped on the court. He your team's leader. That's just the personality that he carried. Dude, he did it day one at Wake Forest. You know what I'm saying? Day fucking one. So, and he had Dave Odoms as his coach. So he had a good old school head coach to teach him. So I'm sentimental wise, I think that I was hoping that Chris and them would be able to do something. And coming into this series, seeing Chris put up that 32 ball first, and then they would end up winning the first two games, Your confidence was high for those guys. This shit don't flip since. And what don't flipped was this. Phoenix can't beat Milwaukee. If Milwaukee played the game the right way, which they sometimes don't, which make a lot of people say that they probably the dumbest team ever to probably win a championship. this shit could have been a sweat. This shit could have been a sweep. Or this shit could have damn sure been 4-1 and 5. Phoenix can't get any bigger. And if you got three guys constantly attacking the rim, Ayton's going to get two fouls. And once he go out, you have nobody. Frank Kaminsky, that's what we doing. Sarich, even though I got respect for Dario, that still ain't supposed to be enough to stop you. Bobby Portis, Lopez, Giannis, Tucker. All these cats are clashing. Connington. These cats are crashing the glass. They got five guys that's crashing hard. And Phoenix can't box them out fast enough, and they're not big enough to deal with them once they get inside that paint. This shit should have been over. But Milwaukee's coach, I don't know. I ain't going to be disrespectful. But he got away with a lot of bulls. I mean, he got a lot of away with the three-point game shit and with the Hawks. And I think he subconsciously was married to that train of thought. And so he still allows his team to play that way to a certain degree. I think that's the only reason why this shit on being so, I mean, why Phoenix got two wins. Because Milwaukee can't shoot the ball better than Phoenix. Book got 240 pieces on these cats and another 30 piece on them. He got 240s and a 30 on them and a 10-point game. And then I think another game, we got a 20-piece on him. So Book went a little bit everywhere on the ass, but he's definitely killing him. So you got Book on the prowl. He killing. But on the other end, he catches so many fouls because he's down there with motherfucking P.J. Tucker that's out there just banging and pushing. And he got to compete for rebounds. So he getting a lot of fouls and shit. Got them trying to compete for rebounds. It ain't like his man is goddamn blowing past him and nothing. Nah, he getting stuck down there fucking with Giannis, getting stuck down there fucking with PJ or Bobby Portis or some shit like that. And he's got to compete for a rebound. And if he don't get the rebound, he got to goddamn try his best not to give up a point blank layup. So he's staying in foul trouble. Staying in foul trouble. And I like DeAndre Ayton. He is definitely goddamn holding his own. Every game. Even the game he only had 6 points, he had damn near 20 boards. That's his job. His job is to score and get that them rebounds and protect the paint. Well, he can only do so much. Because at best, Giannis is still a better ball player than him. But he has the size and the athletic ability to challenge him and make it hard. But then you get the shit then goddamn a Brook on him, then here come Bobby and goddamn his PJ sliding in on him. It's just so many different bigger bodies that he down there pretty much banging against by himself. I got respect for Torrey Craig, but I mean he already came got hurt in the series and then he limited. Torrey Craig ain't nothing but a small forward for real. He like kinda like Thaddeus Young type guy. And Thaddeus Young is another name that I wouldn't mind my Knicks taking a look at this year. His seasoned veteran. Look like Chicago done with him. And shit, if you look at his numbers and what his production last year, Thaddeus still got some go with him and shit. And he's definitely a defensive-minded guy, the type of guy that Tiz want, and the type of guy that got them will definitely help our team. So, you know, shout outs to Thaddeus Young and hopefully that our next front office is maybe taking a look at guys like him. But back to the playoffs. Yeah, man. Phoenix. That I mean, at the end of the day, that's what's killing them, man. And They haven't did what I thought they should have did. Now, I will say this. I love Monty. Monty, you know, an old New York Knicks man, you know, drafted by the Knicks. I love Monty. Watch Monty at Notre Dame. So, got mad love for Monty. I just don't know why Monty ain't try to speed the motherfucker pace up and put Chris, Booker, and Cam out there together and try to goddamn it pick up the pace. Because as long as motherfucking Milwaukee playing in front of the rim, they also dictating the pace of the game. Because if they get, once they get in the motherfucking offensive rebounds, either you got to foul them or you giving up an easy layup. Now you got to take the ball out the rim. Maybe if you speed the game up, you'll actually maybe trick them to thinking that they need to speed their game up. And then they can go back into that regular old silly style of Milwaukee basketball that they usually play. But right now, they stalking and walking. And with them stalking and walking, Phoenix just ain't big enough. This series should been over. You know, truthfully. Phoenix didn't come in big enough. And they still not big enough. They're just not big enough to deal with Giannis and his 7-foot ass, Lopez 7-foot ass, Bobby Porter 6'10 ass. You got PJ 6'7, but he got them a bulldog. And then you got Pat Connaughton, got them slashing in like goddamn it, you know, Superman. You just got five guys that's constantly attacking the rim, trying to get rebounds. And that still ain't saying that Middleton ain't going doing his portion. He's doing his portion. Drew doing his job at helping on the glass, too. This got so many guys, you know, really pointed and aimed at that paint that it's just too many bodies for Phoenix. Too many bigger bodies for Phoenix, man. They just not big enough. So I think Monty's last motherfucking card that he can maybe throw on the table for game six, man, is maybe throw all three of those guards in there and try to goddamn speed this game up and make it a track meet. Just make it a track meet. Try to speed them up, man, because going back to Milwaukee, you know, I kind of disagree with Stephen A, because Stephen A was like, oh, there's no way they're going to win in Milwaukee. I've been here. This basketball. Milwaukee still plays a dumbass style of basketball at times. They ain't got no guarantee in Milwaukee now. Now, I mean, is the shit going to be in their favor? It should be. That home game is for. But do I think that Devin Booker couldn't put another 40-piece on these cats? Or a strong 30, and Chris come in with another strong 30, and then you get 10 or 15 from Cam, and they look up when DeAndre Ayton got 12 and 18, and they on their way back to Phoenix with a win? Yeah, I can see that easily. Yeah, I can see that pretty fucking easily. That wouldn't be hard to see. That wouldn't be a stretch. You wouldn't have to stretch your imagination for me to see that. So I don't think the shit over. Well, Milwaukee being up 3-2, man, I mean, the ticket's in their hand now. It's kind of like the old Bow Wow movie, you know what I'm saying? The lottery ticket. The ticket in your hand. You better hope that you don't lose it. The ticket is definitely in their hands. It'd be nice to see old school Darwin Ham over there. You know what I'm saying? See him, old Ham, the Hamburglar. See the old Darwin Ham over there, get him a piece of that one of them rings, you know, and some of them other coaches, assistant coaches over there, you know, it'd be good to see those guys, if it's meant for them, be able to get it. I think it's been very special how hard this Milwaukee team on fought for Coach Bud, because, I mean, if you check the motherfucking media, the media think Bud was going to get ran the fuck up out of here. And Giannis and his teammates refuse to let their coach get far. I respect that. I respect the shit out of that. I respect the shit out of that. When you make the shit bigger than because it means so much for others. I wasn't for sure they was getting out past the New Jersey series. even when Kevin got them out there by himself, I still thought, you know, they play the game so dumb at times that they won't see their advantage. And by the time they recognize their advantage, they'll be, oops, one toe, half a toe inch away from getting eliminated by KD. And if they get eliminated, Bud get far. Let the media tell it. So I got a lot of respect for what I'm seeing Milwaukee do. A lot of respect for seeing what Milwaukee do. Giannis is all in, man. Giannis on, actually, this is what I love about NBA basketball and what I love about the NBA. You can't sneak no championship, man. You cannot sneak it, man. It's very few motherfucking rookies come in and be a viable member on a championship team. Now, I've seen it happen. I watched Sam Cassell and Robert Horry do it for the motherfucking Rockets against my Knicks. So I've seen it. But it's very rare that you got rookies that come in and play big minutes and be significant factors on a championship team. So it's just when I'm looking at Giannis and understanding that he went from somebody that didn't nobody even recognize and wondered why Milwaukee even drafted him to the next year, oh, okay, your motherfucker got some go in him. Okay, he gonna be all right. Jason Kidd pulling his strings, teaching him, leading him away. Third year, bam, okay, this motherfucker the truth. He all-star. You can see it coming. And he still can't shoot to where he at now. The hard loss in the bubble last year. The hard loss against Philly 2 years ago. You know, the other goddamn flameouts. To goddamn, you know, hyperventilating before the games. Getting beat by 39 motherfucking points in a fucking playoff game. And your coach's head is hanging on a swivel. This Milwaukee, your motherfucking guard that they brought in, getting scrutinized left and right, getting compared with Eric Bledsoe. But anybody that know basketball know Eric Bledsoe good. He ain't Drew. Never was Drew. Drew's size and his defense and his commitment to the defense and the fact that he can score and do just as good as Bledsoe and a better shooter from distance, he was getting a better player. But for so, if you listen to a lot of people there, a lot of people was acting like, you know, why did they goddamn get rid of Bledsoe again? What Drew Holiday doing again? Then you got Chris Middleton. Motherfuckers killing him. You know, he a part-time sucker. You know, 1 minute he a hero when he at home, and then when he get on the road, he turn into 15, 14, 11-point Chris. You know, so all of that shit, man, has been in the play. All that shit was being talked about. That ain't counting what happened to the Brown kid last year, you know what I'm saying, where they was ready just to walk out the bubble last year. Giannis done been through a lot of mental grinding and physical grinding to be able to touch that championship if he can touch it. And if he able to touch it, he would have but have earned it. Plus, he was two-time MVP. That championship of Melly Man, he'll be a Hall of Famer. Two-time MVP. And he'll be a Finals MVP. With just one championship, yeah, that'll get him already suited up and booted up for that Hall of Fame. So, it's been interesting, man. It's been interesting. A lot of it been taken away with, you know, with guys getting hurt, but fuck that. That shit always happen. That's what made NBA playoff basketball what it is, man. All that soft shit and all that punk ass shit you been getting away with in the regular season don't go now. And now what you gonna do? And everything on the line. You gonna shit or you gonna shine? And Giannis and his team this year don't end up shining. But it ain't over. And I do believe, goddamn it, Chris King got them book and go down to Milwaukee, kick their ass, and I'll be on their way back to Phoenix. But one thing that ain't gonna change, them niggas ain't gonna get no taller. So if Milwaukee played the game in front of the rim, game six, this shit over. So, just something to think about. Thank you for allowing me to get in your ear again. God bless everybody. And we'll talk again.